Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Bilowski, and everything sucks. So, Tony Schiavone just said that this Rampage is happening from Allentown, Pennsylvania, which, as far as I know, was recorded two Dynamites ago. They recorded this Rampage 10 days ago, which explains why Tony Schiavone is on the call, because he lost his voice at the most recent Dynamite. So, like, this is like traveling back in time. That I don't know why I'm watching Orange Cassidy face the Job Squad in a two-on-one match, but we're doing it. 6 days ago. Yeah. Was taped. Okay, it was taped last time. Okay, fine. Whatever. No, that's not right, because 8 days ago. They taped it the previous Thursday. That's what they did, because Kate was at this taping. I should ask her about this. She was here. She was there. We're going to talk more about one of the matches and why I hate it so much, Matthew Hooks. It was last Thursday, so 8 days ago they taped this for this particular Rampage. Weird. I don't know why I'm watching Orange Cassidy wrestle a two-on-one match, even though they explained it, because Zack Sabre Jr. can come at you from any angle. It's like you're wrestling two guys out there, so he wants to wrestle these two, the Outrunners, in a two-on-one match. He thinks that's like wrestling Zack Sabre Jr., and I don't even know how to explain that. SmackDown had three matches on it in 2 hours, and that sucks, but all three matches were important. All three matches were fairly long. All three matches were necessary. All three matches had storyline and, like, involvement in them, for better or for worse. So, like, I just wish there had been another one in there. They teased a match during the show that wasn't on the rundown. I was like, did they realize they only had three matches on the card and they wanted to add one? For those of you scoring at home, Orange Cassidy just pinned Jobber number two with an orange punch. So, anyway, look, it's Jericho with Brian Keith. So let's see what they have to say. So they're fighting a third partner. I thought we were going to get Minoru versus Chris Jericho one-on-one, but I guess we're not. So I guess we're going to... Oh, it'll be a surprise. Wonderful. You're going to find out on Collision, huh? I do hate Chris Jericho, just more than anyone will ever know. More than anyone could ever know, I hate Chris Jericho. I had to find out if they, like, Cyclo, I had to find out if they were going to announce his new partner. That's all. See, this is the guy walking in right now, Gabe Kidd, who I kind of figured if they were going to throw one guy into the TNT ladder match, it might have been this guy from New Japan. But they decided to throw another guy in from New Japan. So, SmackDown starts with Solo and saying that Jacob Fatu isn't here. This is like the fourth. This is the first of like four times he lies to Paul Heyman's face about Jacob Fatu not being in the arena. the most famous arena in the world, don't you know? And then we get we get them walking out, and oh, wouldn't you know it, Cody and his friends are here. Yeah, because that's how they're treated. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton are treated like Cody's friends. Because they come out and there's a big brawl, and Kevin Owens hits a swanton from the balcony in the crowd to Tongaloa, who's laying on a table. It's a pretty good little spot there. And then they run off Solo and Tama Tonga. And then they get mics. There's all this security out there. And they one guy gets hit with an RKO, another guy gets hit with a stunner, another guy gets hit with a crossroads. All these amateur wrestlers, not amateur, sorry, excuse me. Independent wrestlers, unsigned wrestlers from the Manhattan area are all taking bumps from Cody and his friends. And Kevin Owens gets on the mic and says, if you thought we were going to wait around until Money in the Bank, you guys are dumber than you look. That's all the mic time Kevin Owens gets. Randy Orton then says, I'm sick of the bloodline. They've been up my ass for 18 months. The bloodline, they put me on the shelf for almost 2 years. And I'm getting revenge. And I'm like, none of the people who put you on the shelf are ones that you are facing. That was Jimmy and Jay. They put you on the shelf. Jimmy got kicked out of the bloodline. Jay hadn't been a part of the bloodline for a fucking year. Like, you have beef with other men. You cannot have beef with Solo Sikoa. Yeah, Solo Sikoa wasn't even part of the bloodline when you got put on the shelf, Randy Orton. I just wish they would not have guys like blatantly tell lies. Like, you can have a problem with the bloodline because I guess they're the bloodline, but not these particular dudes. They had nothing to do with it. Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, they were in fucking Japan. Fatu was fighting Hammerstone when you got put out. Like, come on, man. What are we doing? So, as we watch Gabe Kidd and Roderick Strong face the inventory here, we get then, that's all Randy Orton says. Randy Orton, that's all the mic time he gets. And then Cody gets the microphone and he says fucking nothing. Cody Rhodes is a master at saying fucking nothing. He just says he doesn't like the bloodline. And then he does the thing you're not supposed to do, which is to tear down your opponent, to like not put them over, to make them feel like a piece that look like a piece of shit. Because I'm sorry, like if Cody Rhodes, the most beloved figure in all of wrestling to 98% of the WWE fan base, if he tells them over and over and over again that Solo Sikoa ain't shit, they're going to start to believe it. So what this means is Solo Sikoa has to, not he better, not I think it would be a pretty good idea if they, has to. Solo Sikoa fucking needs to pin Cody Rhodes in the sixth man at Money in the Bank, simply to get anybody to take him seriously because of the way Cody Rhodes keeps taking shots at him. Like, I don't even see a head of the table. I see a damn seat filler. The more and more you take shots at a guy and without actually talking him up, the more it looks like, well, yeah, of course you're going to beat this guy. He's a piece of shit. You told me so. Then the fucking police come out. And the police, people wearing police costumes, escort the boys to the back and put them in an SUV and have them leave. Kayla Braxton, the one fucking thing she does her last day on the job is walk up to Nick Aldis and say, your thoughts on everything that just took place. And Nick Aldis basically says, no comment. Thanks, Kayla. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being a part of the WWE for several years. Thank you for being the top backstage interview person for several years. Thank you for hosting literally all of the thankless fucking pre-show shit before all of our plays for years now. Thanks, Kayla. Bye. The last fucking thing she gets to do is ask Nick Aldis one question that he basically says, get away from me, kid. You bother me. That's what they do with Kayla Braxton on her last fucking night in the company. For the record, it was not the police featuring Sting. It was a different kind of police. They were like people. Not that. Not that. Not this. Not this. Anyway, so they got rid of all the baby faces so they can't stop the bloodline from doing whatever they're doing later. That's a thing you have to know for later. Jade Cargill versus Tiffany Stratton versus Candice LeRae. Tiffany Stratton wins. That's the way it should be. Candice LeRae gets to look good in the match. That's more than I thought they were going to let her do. Jade Cargill tries to do like a stinger splash into the corner, but Tiffany ducks, so she like falls over the turnbuckle and out onto the apron and down onto the ground. Nia Jax is out there to kind of like be a friend to Tiffany Stratton, which brings out Bianca Belair. So then Bianca Belair and Nia Jax get each other's faces on the outside. And then the referee gets in between them. He doesn't see what happens when Indy Hartwell, of all people, runs in and shoves Jade Cargill in the back, sending her forehead right into the ring post. So she's out of it. Bianca Belair then chases Indy Hartwell to the back. And then we get Tiffany Stratton kicks out of a small package, gets her knees up on a she gets her knees up on a lion salt from Candice LeRae. And then she hits the prettiest moonsault ever. She wins. She celebrates with Nia Jax. So far, so good on my booking with Tiffany winning Money in the Bank and her and Nia Jax forming a duo. I think that's a good idea. Yes, Cyclo, I do not believe this at all. I don't know what you do with Naomi as the Money in the Bank winner. I'm sorry, I just don't. I don't know what you do with her as a Money in the Bank winner. Unless she turns heel, and I don't want to see that, because she's a great baby face. I don't want to see her as the Money in the Bank winner as a baby face. I don't want to see anybody as a baby face with a Money in the Bank. I think the Money in the Bank ladder match should be all heels, because it only works if heels are the Money in the Bank winner. So that's what I think. At least they're showing off the new shoes for Brody. That's cool. That's a really cool thing. I wish the Dark Order was on TV more. So there's a Sika tribute video and then a video, RIP Sika. But there's really not much to say about it. We get our LA Knight, Logan Paul, and Santos video. Now, Jalen Brunson from the New York Knicks is at ringside. And Logan Paul, when he comes out, he brings out with him Tyrese Halliburton, who is the star player for the Indiana Pacers, who just beat the New York Knicks in the second round of the NBA playoffs in Game 7 in that building, in the New York Knicks' building. So Tyrese Halliburton is, you know, public enemy number one to Knicks fans right now. So having him bring out Tyrese Halliburton makes a lot of sense. Remember a few months ago when in Kansas City, they had Logan Paul bring out Patrick Mahomes? Like, you don't have the piece of shit, awful human being heel that everybody hates bring out the hometown crowd's favorite sports player. That's fucking dumb. What you do, I said do. What you do is you have the heel, the piece of shit, awful human being heel, bring out the local team's most hated rival. So Halliburton's standing at ringside. Jalen Brunson's there. They have a little stare down. The match goes as the match you would think would go. At the very end, Logan Paul tries a swanton on LA Knight. Can't get the three count. So he calls over Tyrese Halliburton. He says, "Hey, would you go over to my friend over there who's packing an illegal weapon into the stands at the New York Knicks stadium?" Like, if his friend, Jeff, Jason, Jared, whatever his fucking name is, if his friend was coming into the arena and was being frisked, they would arrest him for carrying brass knuckles. That's an illegal weapon. You cannot possess brass. That is a concealed deadly weapon. And this dude just walked into the stands with it. And then walks over Tyrese Halliburton. "Hey, can I borrow those?" And he puts them on his hand, tests them out. And he thinks he's going to go and give them to Logan Paul. But Jalen Brunson hops the railing and walks over and gives the stink eye to Tyrese Halliburton. And I guess, like, through the powers of his mad dogging, "I'm eyeballing you." And he's like, "Oh, you're eyeballing me? Well, I'm eyeballing you. And therefore, I cannot pass these brass knuckles to my friend in the ring." And so because of that, Logan Paul tries to roll up LA Knight. LA Knight reverses it, gets a handful of tights, but it's okay because Logan Paul is a piece of shit and we like that he is losing. And so LA Knight pins him. And so LA Knight's going to the Money in the Bank. Logan Paul is definitely costing LA Knight the Money in the Bank match. And then we're going to get LA Knight versus Logan Paul at SummerSlam. Okay, so the one thing about Rampage that I hate. Apparently this was taped 8 days ago. El Phantasmo versus AR Fox. I don't know if they announced to the crowd that this was what this was. Evil Diva's in the chat. Evil Diva, when you watched this match, did they tell you in the crowd that this match was the final qualifier for the TNT Championship ladder match? Did they tell you that? Because I feel like they didn't tell the crowd. And if the crowd didn't know, they couldn't tell anybody. Bobby Cruz said it. Maybe it was edited in. Okay, I've got it on mute. I asked everybody, who the fuck is the last person in the TNT ladder match? Nobody could tell me. Nobody could tell me. Like, the winner has to be El Phantasmo, right? Like, It's got to be like, so the TNT ladder match. See, there you go. They didn't tell anybody. So Evil Diva says she, at least she wasn't aware. So like, the TNT ladder match qualifiers started in fucking May. They started in May. Takeshita beat like Pentagon on the last Rampage in May. And I was like, how many people are in it? Nobody could tell me. Who are the qualifiers against? Nobody, like, nobody knew for the longest time. Like, people would like say, oh, by the way, there's a qualifier on tonight. Like, it's two goddamn days before the fucking, like, this is the first time anybody, like, is able to know, to find out for real life. Like, it's the only way that, you know what I mean? Like, when you leave one guy left in the graphic, there's a silhouette where there's another dude who's gonna be in the match. And you don't, like, you don't tell us until 2 days beforehand. Forgive me if I thought that the last guy coming into the ladder match was going to be a huge debut, a big return, some kind of surprise. So the idea that 8 days ago you taped a match between AR Fox and El Fantasmo, and even the fucking crowd there live didn't realize that it was going to be a match, like, I wanted Jack Perry to be the TNT champion, and now I don't. Because I need it to be a surprise. Because if the plan was just going to be Young Bucks hand over the TNT title to Jack Perry, and he's the new TNT champion, and instead you're like, no, over the course of the next 5 weeks, we're going to have a bunch of qualifiers. There's going to be one this Friday, and then a few more next week, and then 1 week off, and then two more, and then another one 2 days before the fucking match happens. Like, if you go through all of that to put together a field in the TNT championship ladder match where it is fucking obvious that only Jack Perry could possibly win it. Maybe Takeshita in some kind of weird swerve. But Dante Martin's not winning that. Mark Briscoe's not winning that. And El Fantasmo's not winning that. Jack Perry has like a 92% chance of winning the match when you were just going to give him the fucking title anyway. So this is the most gifted a ladder match has ever been, by putting a bunch of guys in there who were never going to win. It just, man, that pisses me off. It's my fault for getting excited. I thought they were keeping a spot open for a big surprise at Forbidden Door. And over the last 24 hours, I worked myself into a shoot that the big surprise was going to be Dijak. I worked myself into a shoot. Not that they knew it was going to be Dijak, but they were keeping something open just in case to see who the biggest surprise they could possibly get was going to be. And I had worked myself into a shoot that they were going to have just for one night only as a huge surprise, Dijak entering the fucking ladder match. Or Mustafa Ali. Mustafa Ali, great. That'd be great. Leo Rush is going to do some really cool shit, but I don't think he's winning the TNT title. I don't know what the plan was if Copeland hadn't gotten injured. Probably Copeland versus Jack Perry one-on-one. Probably. That makes a lot of sense, honestly. Copeland versus Jack Perry. Maybe they add up. They'll probably make it a triple threat so Jack Perry could pin the Japanese guy, whoever that is. Oh, what a surprise. El Fantasmo wins. Poor AR Fox. I would like there to be, like, the match is going to be amazing. It's going to be an amazing ladder match. But like, I would like to watch a ladder match where I'm not 90% plus certain of who's going to win it when there are six guys in it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's, you gotta put together a field in there where if Daniel Garcia, instead of saying, I want Will Ospreay, if he had been like, I want the TNT title and Garcia was in the ladder match, that would be a possibility, but it's not. Perrazzo versus Shida on Saturday should be amazing. Yeah. Last women's match for SmackDown was Naomi versus Indy Hartwell versus Blair Davenport. Indy got a lot of offense in that I thought she wasn't going to. Then Jade came down to fuck with Indy Hartwell. And Indy kind of ran away from Jade. And ended up getting pinned by Naomi. So Naomi pinned Indy Hartwell. Blair Davenport had an okay showing. But, all right. Let's listen to Dalton Castle, whatever he has to say about this. All right, boys, let's break some hearts. Write your congressperson to call the governors. We want more Dalton Castle. Honestly, if Dalton Castle had wound up being in the TNT title match, I would not have minded. I think Dalton Castle should be on AEW television every week. He's amazing. You should give him a storyline. Make it mean something. He's fucking awesome. So that's what I have to say about that. Oh, there was a thing backstage where Gargano and Ciampa tried to talk some sense into Austin Theory about Grayson Waller, and then Grayson Waller blindsided them and beat them both up. And then Austin Theory kind of pulled Grayson Waller away from them. And so next week on SmackDown in Toronto, we're going to get DIY versus A Clown Down Under for the tag titles. So that'll be fun, I guess. I mean, will it be fun? I'm not really sure. I want Dalton Castle to be TNT champion. I do. I want Dalton Castle to be TNT champion because he's so good at what he does. Shingo's going to murder him right now, though. He kind of has to. There's no one else in wrestling like Dalton Castle. Nobody else can do what he does. When you have a guy that unique he's under contract to you, you owe it to your product to put him on television more. That's dumb to me that he's like, yep. He can really go in the ring. I think that he would be an amazing TNT champion. I don't know if I could see him taking the title off of Jack Perry in like 6 months. That'd be a lot of fun. Dalton Castle getting into an extended program with Jack Perry and taking the title off of Jack Perry, the TNT title. I would not mind that at all. I'm a big Dalton Castle fan. The reason I'm not talking more about SmackDown is that's it. The only thing left to talk about on SmackDown is the main event segment, which was, you know, good. And, like, momentous. It's a big deal that the thing happened. But, like, three good triple threat matches with stakes where I honestly thought Santos was probably going to win that match with LA Knight and Logan Paul involved. I thought they were going to attack each other. I certainly did not think that they were going to bring the biggest rivalry in the Eastern Conference almost to brass knucks versus steel chair blows. Like, that was what happened. After the match, Logan Paul and LA Knight started each other down, and then Jalen Brunson came to the ring with a steel chair. And so Halliburton was wearing the brass knucks, and Jalen Brunson was carrying a steel chair, and that's it. That was it. Oh, yeah, the backstage segment that Bayley got tonight, where she, like, hey, Naomi, if you win, well, I mean, please don't cash in on me, ha, 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 ha. And then Blair Davenport said, your days are numbered. And then Blair Davenport went out and lost her first match on the main roster, so. Dalton in this year's C2 is a great idea, Shot Kid. I like that a lot. So the main thing is that, Solo tells Paul Heyman, I think three separate times, don't worry, Jacob Fatu isn't here. You're my wise man. You gave me advice and you advised me that he's too dangerous and unpredictable. So I told him to stay home. So he's not here. So they come out to the ring and then, Solo gets on the mic. He steals the mic from Heyman. And he's like, allow me to introduce to you Jacob Fatu. And he comes out. And Heyman's like, what, you told me it wasn't going to be here, though. And they go to commercial. And they come back from commercial. He calls out Tama Tonga, Tongaloa, and Fatu by name, individually, one after the other, and says, acknowledge me. And they say, I love you. I acknowledge you. And then finally he goes up to Paul Heyman. And he says, Paul Heyman, my wise man, acknowledge me. And Paul, then he takes out the little necklace. There's a name for it, specific. I forget what it's called. The Fala. The Fala? Afalala. I'm sorry. I don't know what it's called. La Fala? It's the red necklace. It's a lei, but it's not a lei. He wears it. He picks it up and he gives it to Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman like has to put it around his neck. And he says, Paul Heyman says, Solo, I love you. And I acknowledge that you are not my tribal chief. And he drops the thing on the ground. And then Solo hits him with the Samoan spike. Then Fatu does a giant diving headbutt from the top rope, and then they do the triple power bomb to Paul Heyman through the announce table. I mean, hats off to Paul Heyman for taking those bumps, like especially the one through the table. That was crazy. Paul Heyman going through the table, I did not see happening. Ula Fala, that's what it is. Ula Fala. Yes, Heyman's been doing a great job, really has. A really great job through all of this, for sure. And then that's it. They beat the hell out of Paul Heyman. They murdered Paul Heyman. The crowd chanting, "We want Roman." I mean, they've done a great job with this. Here's the deal: Solo Sikoa needs to pin Cody Rhodes in that six man so that he can get some real heat with via Cody. Like, he's already got heat for beating up Paul Heyman. People really hate him, but they need to see that he's a threat to Cody. I would personally have Solo Sikoa beat Cody Rhodes for the title at SummerSlam. The plan currently is Solo Sikoa according to reports, not ours, I believe, but according to reports, the plan is for Solo Sikoa to face Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam for the title. Either Solo or Jacob Fatu have to have that title when Roman comes back. I will not accept babyface Roman coming back and Cody's still the champion. I won't accept it. No, I don't. I won't let it. Yeah, Dalton actually putting up a fight here is pretty great. That was like a sling blade bulldog. I really like that from Dalton Castle. That's a really cool move. You could use that as a finisher. That sling blade bulldog out of the corner. That looked pretty vicious. So the main event here is the women's match? Well, that's cool. We can just get Linda in here to call women's match and then go home. Oh, big strikes. Oh, and a big DDT. Dalton Castle's so good at selling. He's just such a great wrestler. Such a great wrestler, Dalton Castle. Yeah, there are. There's seven matches between Collision and Forbidden Door. That's awesome. That is so cool. I really love that. It's a big deal. I guess we're getting some main event Linder because there's nothing more to talk about SmackDown. I literally talked about all of it. Man, so few people do that kind of stuff. Like, Dalton Castle, like, reaching for the ropes, hoping they were there. Like, if you watch what he was doing, he was basically out, but he was just trying to, like, if the ropes are here, I have no idea where I am in the ring. But if the ropes are here, maybe I can stop the pinfall. That was great. So good. All right. Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews are going to be a tag team. They think they're going to recapture the magic of Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker with Baron Corbin and as not Bron Breakker as you can possibly get. So that'll be good. So Soraya's cutting a promo. You'll forgive me. I don't know what she's saying because I have it muted. Yeah. I'm a big fan of them giving the women so many matches here. It's like one of the things we predicted was once Mercedes came in, they were going to have to give the women more time on TV because the women's division as a whole was going to have to step up. It'll be really good. This will be really good. All right. Well, I mean, all we could do here is just wait for the main event to start. So if the people who are here who are just waiting for just watching for the SmackDown review, it's over now. There's no more SmackDown review. They announced Bianca and Jade squashing Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. Whoops, did I say squashing? I mean having a match with. That's going to be next week. And then on SmackDown. Oh, and there was a backstage segment where, like, the Street Profits were like, we want a tag team match with the Bloodline tonight. And then Pretty Deadly came in and were like, we are here to pitch to you Pretty Deadly the Musical, because we just went to Broadway and saw some musicals. And then Street Profits says, how about this? Street Profits versus Pretty Deadly, The Beatdown. And Nick Aldis is like, I like the sound of that. And so I thought we were going to get that match tonight as, like, you know, a fourth match on the card in 2 hours. But instead, they decided they were going to do it. They were going to do it. They're going to do it next week. So Pretty Deadly versus Street Profits will be on SmackDown next week. Yeah. So that's everything there. All right, I'm tired, everybody. I'm watching an infomercial for knockoff dick pills that are not Blue Chew. The name of the knockoff dick pills is called Friday Plans. Oh, I can't possibly. I have Friday plans. That's a euphemism for the one night of the week my wife and I have sex, or excuse me, my mistress and I have sex, because that commercial is aimed squarely at dudes in their 50s who have mistresses in their late 20s. That is the target audience for Friday plans. Why is that commercial so prominently displayed? All right. Okay, are we going? Here we go. All right, here we go. Here we go, everybody. We're firmly in summer now, so I'm bringing out the shades. It's sky blue here, but she's not in Chicago, so she might lose. Who am I kidding? Of course she's not going to. Queen Aminata is in ROH, and ROH. She's Queen Aminata, Aminata. Queen Aminata is being positioned on the ROH to have a match against the Athena, if the Athena is ever healthy. A title match for the title in July. So Queen Aminata is going to come in here on Rampage and probably lose to the Skye Blue. We're thinking. Well, here's why Shock of Ages. See, this was taped 8 days ago. And 8 days ago, they didn't even know who was going to be on the card. It's like deciding in the Mesozoic era, like, what's going to happen in you know, 1582. That nobody knew. Nobody knew. It's such a long time in between those two things. Look, they're actually showing things that happened on Ring of Honor. They're showing things that happen on Ring of Honor. Is that a first on AEW? I've never seen anything on AEW about what has been going on in ROH. They don't tell you. It's like they're ashamed it's even happening. Well, thank you for letting us know what's going on in the ROH. Queen Aminata was on the AEW. She was on the AEW, and that's important. That is can't miss television or YouTubes. That is can't miss YouTubes for me. I got the subscription, so I know exactly. I tapped the bell for notifications, so I know exactly when the AEW goes live, and then I watch that with the RJ City. So Skye Blue with some back elbows here, trying to get rid of the waist lock. She rolls through, gets a pinning combination here. Oh, but Aminata rolls back through. All right. Bit of a stalemate. wrote that DDT position. Oh, a snap suplex from the Emanators. Queen Emanator is the future champion, I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now. Queen Emanator is the future multi-time AEW Women's Champion. If she's not, I'll eat my hat. Another slap suplex. Another snap suplex. I said slap Snoopnecks. And that's not at all. Snoopnecks sounds like a prescription drug from the people at Snoop Dogg. Snoopnecks. That's not at all what that is. A slap Snoopnecks is not at all a snap suplex. It's a very different thing. Hold on. Apparently Wrestling with Movies sent in a sour chat, which I will read during the next commercial break. So I'll read those at the next time there's a commercial break, Wrestling with Movies. I will be reading with sour chats. As soon as there's a commercial break, I will read your sour chat. Don't worry about that there. Thank you for telling me. We usually don't get the sour chats on the Friday shows, so it's nice for you to let me know. Sky Blue. Queen Emanator's down on the outside. We're going to picture in picture. That's technically a commercial. Hold on. I'm going to read this here. Wrestling Guru. Is that you wrestling with movies? Wrestling Guru says, would it be hyperbole to say that Roman Reigns is going to get maybe the biggest pop ever? He's the biggest babyface without doing a single thing. I love that. This Bloodline 2.0 story has somehow sucked me back in. What do you think? I love it, provided that the Bloodline 2.0 gets some serious victories under their belt. Solo Sikoa should beat Cody Rhodes for the title so that when Roman comes back, he has to contend with the entire Bloodline if he wants to get his title back. Also, Cody Rhodes is like, not so fast, Roman. I would like to get my title back as well. Well, let us have a handshake agreement that we will not get in each other's way until we demolish the Bloodline. One of those things. I wouldn't mind seeing it. Mostly, I just want Cody Rhodes to not be the champion anymore or ever again. But that's just me. T-Electric Mayhem says, much love to the SGS. For whenever, majorly behind on my listening and puns. So here are a few. Thank you. Exercise puns. Hacksaw gym dumbbells. I like that very much. Cardio Bravo. Yuka Squatazaki. Technology puns. BCCC. Blackpool Combat Carbon Copy. JPEG White. PowerPoint Hobbs. Thank you, T-Electric Mayhem, for sending in those puns. So here we go. I'm sorry. I'm trying to watch the action here, but then we get Ilea. Significantly, it could improve my vision. I've heard that before. Is it LASIK? Because I won't do the lasers. I won't do the lasers in the eyes. I won't do it. It seems counterintuitive. Oh, you can't see? Let us shine these lasers into your eyeballs. That'll fix the problem. I feel like, no, it's just going to burn my retinas, and then I can't see even more. A terrible idea. So I don't know what this Ilea thing is. Because if it's lasers, I don't want it. Anyway, back over here trying to watch the smaller of the two screens. A big running pump kick there by Skye Blue. Come on, Aminata. I'm rooting for you, Aminata. Snapmare and into a headlock. Or some kind of it's a full Nelson. A snapmare into a full Nelson. It's the Skye Blue taking control of the Queen Aminata. This is so difficult to pay attention. We got ads for the Practical Jokers show. I don't like that show. I don't like Practical Jokers. So mean-spirited. Just leave people alone. Okay, but back to the show. Queen Aminata fighting a way out. Oh, and a big, big elbow. Huge forearm returned by Queen Aminata. And a double grizzly magnum chop by Queen Aminata. Snapmare. Running. Oh, running big knee. Oh, no. Skye Blue's got some leg strength to kick out of that particular pinning predicament. I don't know. All of the weight was down. And Queen Aminata, she's a thick lady. She's a thick, not as thick as me, of course. But she is a thick lady. Hard to imagine kicking out of that. Oh, and the big running V trigger. Right in the ropes there. My goodness. That was almost like one of them shinkasas there. From the Shinsuke Nakamura. Oh, and now and the big German on the apron there from the Queen Aminatas. Aminata, get it back in the ring. You gotta be your own lumberjill here. Get it back in the ring. You can't win on the outside. Oh no, don't do it. You're gonna run in and try and do a knee against the steel steps, and Skye Blue's gonna move. She's definitely gonna move. No one would ever take this bump. She's definitely gonna move. Oh! You did the big butt to the face, but there was more like butt to the steel steps. Oh, that's got a smart on the tailbone. That's got a smart on the tailbone there. Picking her up. Throw it. Bringing her up the steel steps. Oh, she's gonna try a suplex off the steps to the floor. You can't win it out there, ladies. You got to get back in the ring. You have to get back in the ring, I'm telling you. There's nothing more to say about it. Get in the ring now. Oh, and a big that's a big one. That's a big one. Oh, Aminata kicks out. Back in the ring now, but Aminata kicks out. The Skye Blue picking up Aminata by the hair. Aminata is not going to like that, I don't think. Trying here for a full Nelson, like a Sister Abigail or a Blade Runner from a full Nelson position right in the face. Come on, Aminata, fight back. Fight back. She's trying for the code blue. Aminata says no. Oh, and a giant headbutt from Aminata. Oh, she won with a headbutt. Aminata wins with a headbutt. That's the way to use your noggin. Queen Aminata. I love it. I love it. She should win. She should get the TBS title when Mercedes gets bored with it. Perhaps. I would not mind seeing Queen Aminata as the heavy for Mercedes Moné. As somebody who would be magic together. To, you know what I'm saying? To kind of prepare Aminata for her future as a world champion. Oh, Skye Blue, Aminata was very nice to you. Aminata pulled you up and gave you a hug And what's your response? A super kick and a dragon sleeper. Oh, but here comes Red Velvet. Red Velvet. She's straight out of your mama's kitchen. Not my mama's kitchen. My mama couldn't cook. So now we're doing a Red Velvet versus Sky Blue thing here. All right. Well, okay, fine. The collision is happening tomorrow night. I don't think there's going to be a show. Probably not. I don't think Kate's going to want to do a show with Alex. So I don't think there's going to be a show. But there will be a post Forbidden Door, but it'll be with both Alexes. With the Alex and the Alexis. With the Cardiza. So there. We're going to see that both. It'll be two Alexes. You'll be seeing double. So. Everybody, that I guess I'm supposed to say the thing, everything sucks. So we'll see you on Sunday. Everything won't suck on Sunday because it's Forbidden Door. But tonight, everything sucks.